Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Okay, total theoretical question. We should never know from any of this, but just in terms of theory, between eyesight and hearing, the ability to see, the ability to hear, if, again, theoretical, if you could only have one, if you were going to lose one, which one is more valuable, which one would be more, which would be the better one to still have, which one would be more devastating to lose between those two faculties that we have, our ability to see and our ability to hear?
For sure, sight's more important.
Sight's more important. Why?
You can understand what's going on around you much better. I mean, it's a subjective question, I think. But
yeah, I'm going to ask you. You would go with sight.
Yeah, you can understand what's going on around you much more if you can see. If you can hear, you know what you're... I think you'll more often know what you're missing.
Seeing is believing.
So you agree with Eric?
I mean, they don't say hearing is believing.
No, they don't. They say seeing is believing. Better. So you're going to go with the they. Whoever the they is.
The Oilem.
They are probably the ones who... There's better hearing... I would think there's better hearing substitutes than there are.
Okay, but I'm going to leave that out. In other words, well, just in terms of objectively speaking, assuming that all things were equal... And you'd have to now live life with one of the two faculties.
Braille versus sign language.
Okay, but you're dealing with it in a practical way, which is fine. In other words, I'm saying in terms of the two faculties, with all things being equal, would a person be better off with his ability to see or hear? So you're saying it's not actually even because, you know, the technology that we have for those who can't see might be better, which is
better to see
yeah. Also.
I'd be surprised if
here. Boy, you're leaving that real open for the other three people who haven't voiced an opinion yet. Well, if Eric, you know, Jordan says it, so then... So we have all four who have spoken up have gone with better to see. Like, did you weigh in? You're just...
I think it's better to see than to hear, but... You feel like the answer is
here.
No, there's an answer.
I'm trying to fake you out. I'm trying to fake out your fake out that you have me.
You know, what's worse.
New Matthew, what did he say?
It's better to hear that somebody can see instead of hearing that somebody can hear. Than seeing that somebody can hear.
Okay, while we try to digest that, I'm going to ask Matthew what he thinks.
I mean, nowadays, there's tools for both. About, say, 200 years ago, 1,000 years ago. If you couldn't see, you're kind of stuck. You couldn't hear. Okay, you can still move around. You can still get places. You can still function. Still part of society.
If you can hear, you're part of society.
No, if you can see, you're part of society. You can still grow things. You can still use your camel. You can not.
Chances are, if you couldn't hear back then, you couldn't speak either.
All right. And Tanakh, we see
that you can possibly read some of the books.
Yes, in the old ages, right.
Speaking. I'm saying, right. I mean, nowadays, you give.
Right, Hushman done. That's right, who lost his ability to hear, right.
But back then, it's.
Right, so it's explicit in the Psukim many times, people becoming blind. That we find in Tanakh also. That's later, that's a function of old age.
If he says if he's blind, he's like you said. We don't say that about hearing.
Suma Chashub Kemet, that's right. Well, we'll hold on to that. Yeah. We'll see about that. Yeah, so we knew Mark, what did you say? Anything? So we're pretty unanimous.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting, yeah.
Doesn't it
say
they're dead?
No, the Torah says about Summa, someone who's blind is considered, like, there's a list of four people. Yeah, Rashi quotes this from Chazal. So listen to Rabbeinu Yonah. This is Rabbeinu Yonah and the Shari Tshuva. Rabbeinu Yonah writes as follows. Ki ha'ozen nechvedes mishar ha'ivarim. The ear is the most honored, nechvedes dear, faculty of all of our Evarim. And it brings a proof from the Gemara in Bava Kamma. The Gemara in Bava Kamma talks about damages. If a person damages somebody else, if I break your arm, how much do I have to pay for the damage that you had to your arm? So the Gemara has this whole set of equations as to how you figure out the value of the person's arm, the pain, the suffering, the lack of work, and all of those things go into the factor. So what if I blind somebody? Shim Sima Eseino, a person blind somebody. So how do Chazal figure out the value that you need to pay for blinding somebody? So Nosin Lo Demei Eino, you figure the value of his eyes. You take him to the market where they sell the slaves. figure out how much would a slave go with his eyesight, how much would he go without his eyesight. That's the value of the eye. You could put a monetary value on the eye based on how much, you know, devaluation you have in the slave market for a person with without his eyes. Right.
But not on the ears?
Avalim Chorsho, says the Gemara. Says the Gemara, let's say you make somebody blind. You come up behind him and you smash a symbol behind him, he goes blind. Mm-hmm. So I was just joking. I don't know.
Deaf.
Excuse me. He goes deaf. Now he can't hear. Says the Gemara, no sein lo demei kulo. You have to pay for his entire value. We don't look at the aver, the faculty alone, like we would for an arm, for a leg, or even for eyesight, where we would just put the value on that particular faculty. If you take away a person's ability to hear, then you have to pay his entire value as if you killed him. Kitia avodas ha'ozen, says the Rabbeinu Yonah, why should that be? Now again, going against all of what we would have come to the conclusion, not that way. We would have said, no, the ability to see is greater. And the Gemara says that you pay a higher price, not just a higher price in value, but as if you took away his whole life. You pay for his entire value if you take away a person's ability to hear. So Rabbeinu Yonah and Shari Tshuva asks the question, what is it about the ability to hear that means you have to pay for his entire value? Says Rabbeinu Yonah, Bishomea el hatzichachos. You can hear Musar. You can hear someone give you rebuke. You can hear somebody correct your ways. The Omer Rav Oseinu, when he quotes a Medrash, if a person falls off a roof and breaks one of his limbs, so you need a specific patch or to heal, you need some type of medicinal approach for whatever it was, I'll call Aver ve'Aver ve'etzame atzama, for every bone, every fat, whatever he lost, and when he falls, you need something. V'hachote asher chota b'chol Aver, but a person who sins, so it's not like his arm is, a person's a sinner, so he does something wrong, so now it's as if Chazal say his entire body is broken. Hashem heals his entire body with one form of healing. The ability to hear. Give me your ear, listen to what I have to say, and you'll live. So that the ear has the ability to process Musar. It's a retia, it's a form of a medicine, it's a form of a cure for the entire body. Every other aspect of the body, something happens, needs a specific approach for whatever part of the body got damaged. But, so if you could only smell cookies, or you could taste cookies, which way would you go with? Why don't you... So the plan is like this. What we do is we have the chance, and then when everybody's blood begins to rush to their stomach and away from their head, and I see the eyes droop, then we bring out the cookies, and all of a sudden it's like, whoa.
Thank you.
We're trying to get to 10. Is that the goal?
And blood, yeah, right, whatever. We're so close. Where's Cohen? Where'd he go?
He's moving, so he's like trying to get it all done this week.
Got it.
Yes, you had done before. He's going to New York for a week.
Got it. So Chazal say, in the ability to hear something unique, meaning you can read a Musar Sefer, not going to have the same impact. There's something about hearing it that changes whatever the message is that you're hearing. That when you hear the words, makes it far more powerful in that it can cure an entire body, so to speak. So Rosh Hashiva Rav Goldbach used to explain that hearing is the only faculty that we have that requires our mind to work. There's a thought problem. When you hear something, the way we hear things is very sequentially. First you hear the beginning syllable, and then the end syllable, and then the second word, and then the third word, and then a sentence. The sound itself is meaningless until I say a whole thought. You've had to be, if you're following what I'm saying now, you've had to be listening for 5 minutes. You've had to take in all the information, hold it, process it, remember what I said previously to be able to put it all together and get it. As opposed to when you see something, you see it all together. You can always, of course, analyze. That's always there, but you can see without. You can't hear. To you could. You mean could hear the words, but the faculty of hearing is the ability of being a shomea, is being involved in the process, processing whatever it is that you're hearing, and integrating it into whatever it is that you're doing, which is a far greater level of communication. When I hear you, it means you've actually communicated something of what you want me to understand, and if I get it, I'm internalizing, processing what it is you're saying, which is why we even say it in English. You're not hearing what I'm saying. And you say in Hebrew also, you know, you're not a shomea.
Yeah, but I mean, there's ways to communicate with somebody, you know, when somebody doesn't speak the same language as you. People communicate and being able to, some sort of charade fashion, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's the only form of communication.
Well, but I would say that it's also, you're sitting there, you have to actually, you know, comprehend what they're saying, it's sequential.
Yeah, no, and I agree. In other words, like
silent movies forever, where they told entire stories, and you know, before they
no, and there's no question in terms of the faculty of being able to see that also comes into a play, and you can do that. There's the concept of being a shomea, of being able to hear, requires, in terms of using that faculty to understand what's being said, a certain amount of processing, different than being able to see something, meaning. Or let me give some of the examples that he brings to fill up the equation. Moshe, who was the greatest Navi, was the only Navi who receives his Nevuah peh el peh. He receives it directly from Hashem. Hashem speaks to him. Well, the other Navi, and every other one of the Nevi'im, would receive it in a vision. They would actually see the Navi as a chazon, as a vision in their sleep, as opposed to a conversation of peh el peh. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Listen is saying the process of chap, so to speak, understand, take in the information, process the concept of the shmia that's required. Kol dvorim atem shemim, Hashem says at Har Sinai, the voice of the things that you have heard as I've spoken to you today at Har Sinai. There's some, that form of communication is a different type of communication. Even though you are right, you can communicate in other ways that would also require that, but the nature of listening, so Beir Yonis is because of that, when you hear someone give you Musar, will always be a different form, there's like a personal connection, there's a different type of integration of information more than anything else. Now that's his understanding. The Gemara says that losing your hearing is more significant, even though there's a Chazal that says someone who's blind is considered like someone who's dead, but in terms of damages done, a person who damages someone else's ability to hear pays for his entire value.
He bothers that the way you value the lost sight is strictly it's in a functional way. What work can he or can he not perform without vision?
Right.
Whereas by hearing, it's not even going to value to contribute, you know, the labor, but it's saying more.
You've damaged him in such a way, right? Which is an interesting thing, the way that he's understanding it. Yes, that's a good point.
You could say, oh, well, his ability to, you know, quality of life, or just whatever, vision, strictly, no, this is the work he can now.
You should, that is a fair point. You should know that when I was in college, in graduate school here, so it was a professional counseling program, so we did a lot of things with special needs and different multi-diverse groups. It was agreed upon by all that someone who can't hear is a far more isolated person from society than someone who can't see. When you can't hear, you're sitting at a table and you're oblivious to what's going on. You're not part of the world in which you live. And people who can't hear are known within the world of special needs as far more at risk, so to speak, than someone who can't see. Someone who can't see, you could sit them at the table, and they can be part of life. They can be part of the community. It's certainly difficult for them, there's no question about it, but they're part of things. When you can't hear, you're cut off. There was a person in the community whose father suddenly went deaf one day. He was an older man, he was in his 60s or 70s, and just woke up one morning and couldn't hear. And I spoke with him at length. The trauma, it literally all of a sudden in his home, he was petrified for his life. Like, I don't know if You know, someone could be in the house. I wouldn't know. I mean, he can see, but there's a way in which we engage the world around us through our ability to hear. So if somebody smashes a window and breaks in the middle of the night, no idea. Telephone, totally at loss. So now, a little bit more, you know, with texting, obviously there's better forms of communication, but it within the day-to-day activities, the inability to hear creates a far more isolated, I'm like living on an island, even though I'm amidst people, I can't imagine going to, you know, any social gathering, and you see everybody engaged, right? And you can't, you have no idea what they're saying. Now, if you're blind in that same situation and someone puts you in the middle and explains to you what's going on, you know, you can, again, I don't know if you were here when Levi Greenspan was here, right? Someone who went blind. And it's certainly different. It's difficult for him. There's no question about it. But he can still, you know, the ability to joke, the ability to be part of it. You can't do that if you can't hear it. Yeah.
Vision has time every night where you're in the dark. You close your eyes and see, you can see that contrast. And you see, oh, thank God, I can see the lights are back on.
You think how we have a lack of an ability to appreciate what it's like.
Get to see the contrast.
Right.
Vision, no vision at different times. Very exciting.
When you're strong, you
have darkened rooms.
I mean, if you stop and think about, like, what it's like being in your home if you couldn't hear, like, whatever you saw, but you had no idea what's going on behind you. You just, like, you imagine, like, that's like almost like a fear factor that this guy was describing to me for his father of, like, I never know. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, but what if, you know, he's sleeping in the middle of the night, somebody breaks in, hears the glass shattering, and he's blind, but he can hear that, and then he just, like, can't do anything about it.
Right. So, which is different than never knowing if it's going on. You're right. In other words, like, glass broke, so I'm blind, so I have a phone. I just don't know.
Right. But there's that. I mean,
why would that person be worried about it?
Well, he lived in a bad neighborhood. I'm saying, but it was an example of what it's like when all of a sudden you go down.
No, I'm saying, I guess if you lost your senses after having had them, that might be one thing. But if somebody who was born without sight or without hearing, I have a hard time believing that a deaf person would be afraid that someone may be in his house right now.
But yeah, it's just an example of that fear. But it's an example of that being isolated and of not knowing certain things more than being deaf, being blind. So Rav Shiva tied this into another off-quoted medrash, the Gemara actually. The Gemara says that when a Eved, a Jewish slave, after 6 years is supposed to go free, if he refuses to leave, so then his ear gets pierced with an awl. And he remains in Eved Le'olam forever, which ends up meaning Tol Yovel for the next 50 years. So the Gemara asks in Kiddushin, why the ear? So he's going to become an Eved. Why did the Torah take it out on the guy's ear?
What does that mean? Like, gets pierced, like a straight up, like a hole, like that?
Yeah, you take his ear against the doorpost. Yeah, I mean, I think
less than straight. They're not like making him deaf or anything.
No.
Ear piercing, like an ear piercing.
Can you attach a chain to it?
Yeah, he wasn't there.
So the Gemara says why is that? The Gemara says why the ear? Why does the Torah take out his punishment for this guy who wants to be a slave on the ear? So the Gemara says, Ozen Sheshama Koli al Har Sinai, that Hashem says the ear that heard my voice on Har Sinai. V'shoa shomarti ki li b'nei Yisrael avodim. When I said, you be my slaves, I'm taking you out from Mitzrayim in order that you should be enslaved to me, you'll be my servant. The ear that heard that, v'lo avodim la'avodim. I want you to be my slaves, not a slave to another slave.
Right.
Meaning if you become a slave to a Jew, you're a slave to a slave, because the Jew is a slave to me. You heard that you should be my own slave directly, and you go ahead and make yourself into a slave of another slave. You on your own then acquire for yourself a master. Yeirot say the ear that heard that should be pierced. So the ear heard lots of mitzvahs. Why don't we say to a ganov, you're caught stealing. You know what we're going to do? We're going to take your ear and we're going to smash it with an awl. We're going to say the ear that heard on Har Sinai, lo yisigzol. do not steal, and you went ahead and you stole, we're going to pierce your ear.
It didn't hear that.
What's that?
It didn't hear, I assume only said the first two, like, about a slave is in one of the first two minutes, you know?
Well, it really, the way the Gemara says it, that you heard the voice of Hashem say, Kili b'nei Yisrael avodim, that you, my Jewish people, are my slaves, is actually a pasuk which happens much later in Kiddushin. Unclear that was like literally,
I mean,
said in our Sinai.
It was said, "I know Hashem," and also, "You won't have any other gods before me." That in itself is, you know, being the fact that I am God. Being God is, you know, you are. It's just, it doesn't. It's almost like it kind of doesn't need to be said that you're my servants. If I'm God, of course you're my servant.
So you would say, you'd answer them, if I were to ask a question, okay, so the ear heard everything, the way that I asked the question. First is Mechal Shabbos. So let's pierce his ear and say, the ear that heard Shamor Azom HaShabbos L'Kotcho, that ear should be pierced for violating Shabbos. If I were to ask that question, the way you would answer it would be, well, the ear didn't really hear that. The ear only heard the first two. And because the ear only heard the first two, that's why we make a bigger deal about being an Eved, because the first two is somehow tied into being a slave, because Anoch Hashem Elokecha. Would you guys go with that answer or no? I don't know.
Technical, but it's not strong.
Right. I mean, it's very technical to say that the reason specifically for the slavery is because of it only. In other words, and why did we only hear the first two? We only ended up hearing the first two because it was too much for us to take. So had it been that we would have made it throughout all ten,
get your ears pissed first,
then we would have ear pierced.
Your parents.
Right? In other words, that's what would have ended up happening had we made it. Right? That's difficult. What's that?
He has five
pierced. Right. Walking around. So that's a difficult, right? It becomes a difficult answer to say that the only reason why the ear was pierced. So why should it be that the specifically thing with Avodim should get the ear piercing more than anything else? The ear heard lots of mitzvahs at Har Sinai and thereafter. And the only one that the ear gets punished is, you are my slave.
I mean, I think maybe go back to what we spoke about with Eliezer being...
Yes, good. Yeah.
And that is going to be his highest level. That, you know, when you are a slave,
mm-hmm.
That's who you are. That's your makeup. That's everything. Even though Eliezer, you know, was a smart slave and attached himself to the best he could find, at the end of the day, he's still going to be a slave, and he's not going to be able to marry into that. And the same thing with us is we are always going to be slaves, and that is our status, slaves to God.
Awesome. I love it when people actually remember things that they said. That is fabulous. You can have another bowl of joint. You can even fiddle to the top.
Well, if I'm going to take a video.
So the Rosh Hashiva learns.
I replace it with someone else.
Right. We don't have a marriage that says, you wanted to get married? Yeah, I told you to be a slave to me. So the Rosh Hashiva learns that the concept of avdus, the concept of being a slave, is a total bittul, a nullification of the chayrus hadas, the ability to be free on your own, to make your own decisions. You're living through someone else, and you cannot make your own decisions because you're entirely subject to your owner's will. If your owner wants you to do Torah mitzvahs, you want to be a slave to Avram, that's great. But it's not because you're choosing that, it's because you become a slave to someone, and it's through him that you accomplish whatever it is that you accomplish. He brings example, if there would be such a thing as slavery today, and a person would become a slave to the Chafetz Chaim, he would never achieve what a student of the Chafetz Chaim would achieve. Even though he'd be living in his house and doing everything, because you're a slave, you're an Eved to the Chafetz Chaim, so everything that you do, even if he wants you to be sitting and learning, and he wants you to be Shomer Torah Mitzvah, he has you doing all of those things, but at the end of the day, what it is that you're doing is through the concept of an Eved. I'm through him. It's like, it is again, it's not my das. A Talmud is saying, this is what I want. And even though I might not achieve the same level because I can't live with him in the same way, I can't gain from him, but you chose to be able to do that. And he ties the two concepts of the Rabbeinu Yonah saying the ability to hear is the ability to process, the ability to make those decisions, the ability to have your mind engaged. As Chazal say, that if I take away your hearing, you can't hear the mussar.
Bible,
a Jewish guy or? What is that, Havdalah set?
Yeah,
nice.
GPS.
Nice. What did we get?
Havdalah set.
How much did you pay for that?
I had a dollar on me, but he said, nothing, just give me an envelope for you.
Oh,
I probably don't live here, so no, I didn't send him a check. Actually, he said, nice check.
Oh, nice check.
Really mean,
yeah, no, I'm not going to give him a nice check. Can we give it back to him?
Oh, stamp.
Nice.
Bell stamp.
Amen.
Yep. Oh, that's really cool.
Washington, New York.
So the Chazal say the two things go together. The ear, when you make yourself into an Eved, then Chazal say, you took your ear. The ear that heard, be a slave to me, and not be a slave to someone else. The ear that does that is the ear that's going to get pierced. Because your ear is the ear that heard at Har Sinai, my kol, koli shamata. You heard my kol, you heard that voice at Har Sinai, the voice that said, be a slave to me. And then you went ahead and made yourself into a slave to somebody else so that now you're stuck with his mindset instead of being on your own. There, the Torah says, take that ear and pierce it and recognize what it is that you gave away. Now you're going to walk away with a hole in your... Why did I have to have a remembrance in my ear that I became a slave? Yeah, your ear is the organ that needs to have that recollection of look what you gave away. You took your ear, which has the ability to hear, to process, to make yourself into the Chayr Sadas, to hear the Musr, which can change your whole life. There's the experience that Rabbeinu Yonah writes of hearing something, hearing a message, is the Ritiya, is the solution for the problem of the entire Guf. Person that's the measure, the Mashal Chazal gave, you fall off a building, you break an arm, you need to treat your arm, you break a leg, you treat your leg. What does a person do who's a chote? I sinned, I did something wrong. Shomea koli, listen to my voice and you can fix everything. And that ear will get pierced when he says, I don't want to have that freedom anymore. I give up that freedom of being able to take an information process and become something. I gave it to somebody else. I became an Eved. And therefore, that ear gets pierced. Which he ties in to the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu says, they're not going to hear me. When I come to Klal Yisrael, they're not going to listen. And what's Moshe's language? He says, V'lo shom'u el Moshe, mikotz v'ruach v'mi'avodo kasha. They didn't hear, they didn't listen to Moshe. Now, V'lo shom'u el Moshe doesn't mean they didn't hear him physically. They heard the words. What it means is, V'lo shom'u el Moshe, mikotz v'ruach. They were so short of breath, they were working so hard, they didn't listen to Moshe. It means they didn't. Moshe is coming with the message of Geula. He's coming with the message of redemption, of we're going to get out of here, and they can't hear it. Maybe they physically hear it, but lo shamu, they can't hear it.
Well,
yeah.
No, I hear what you're saying, but I was kind of going back to the original question, right? And sort of my kind of bring it back. Your question of what is worse or what's better to have doesn't really tie into what you're saying, because it's better to understand is to hear, right? But to, you know, but to see something, you know, like he said, practicality is a practicality,
mm-hmm.
for example. But, you know, for what the point of the ear, of the hearing, is the, you know, the better way of transmission. Like when you're teaching something, like Tosh Baal Peh, it's by hearing.
Right.
Vasav, obviously, is by sight. But, you know, when you're saying over, like...
And it's a better way?
Right. In other words, the way you posted the question, you know, it's a matter of... It's a tool. It's a better tool of Torah transmission.
Mm-hmm.
Of teaching.
Right. Which is why it's a Torah Shabbal Peh, because it forces the engagement.
Right. But it's still... When it comes down to it, you know, sight and hearing and sight and vision are parcel equal. It's just the way the tool that you use for transmission, you know, to teach over something is better to teach, you know, by hearing. You know, if somebody learns something better by hearing or teaching over by hearing than vision.
Right. So I think Rabbeinu Yonah's understanding that Chazal are saying to us, on a spiritual plane, in other words, the question was misleading in the sense that you all interpreted it to mean in a physical sense, which is fair. I didn't admit that's how I threw it out there. In a spiritual sense, the ability to be able to hear is far more important for the consistent or constant spiritual development of a person. If a person can't hear anymore, he can't receive a message from somebody to touch him in his soul, to change a person's life, to impact him, right, reading it and hearing it will never be the same.
Right. I mean, you take it, it's any shear. It's like somebody give over a bar, like somebody give over Rabbi Friend, Erev Yom Kippur drasha,
mm-hmm.
and be bland, and Rabbi Friend will give it over and be give it over his style, and people will absorb it better the way it delivers. I mean, the opposite side is a joke, right? Somebody can say a joke, have bad timing, it's not funny. Right? They say it over, it's how it's given over. And most of the time it can be given over by, so what you're saying is that giving over a vision is not the same, power as hearing, as giving
right.
over by
vision. There's something that touches us deeper
right.
about hearing. Which the Shiva is learning is because of our engaged aspect of it. In other words, to understand it requires much more of our involvement. Which is why many of the Mepharshim explain that the advantage or the godless of Hashem's decision to have a half Torah Shavuot Sab and a Torah Shavuot Peh. Torah Shavuot Peh required the student's engagement. Torah Shavuot Sab requires you to go to the bookstore, lay out $50, and you buy a shas. Now it's on my bookshelf. I have it.
Until later, the pendant comes out, the new cover, and
then
buy it again.
Then, right. But when it was a Torah Shavuot Peh, the only way it could be transmitted was I needed, you have to be here,
right.
I have to talk to you, and you have to get it. And then there's this constant, I didn't understand, there's a check, a give and take, that is a totally different form of communication, and it's a much more powerful, internalizing form of communication.
There's also some thinking.
Going to run in 2 minutes, we've got to catch Marv, yeah.
Cypress hearing. Hearing, you have to engage, processing, thinking, you're doing things, so it's more engaging, it's more penetrating, yet it's also more susceptible to being misinterpreted or misunderstood.
Yes.
Sight, seeing is believing.
It is what it is. Right.
And the same thing as Torah Shavuot Servant Peh,
it's
not changing. It's all there, but Torah Shavuot Peh, there's the argument.
And you're exactly right. Because of the nature of the Shmiah is why it can be that you go to a shir, or it could be any lecture, two people walk out of it, and they hear like totally different things. Because there's so much when I'm communicating through words that happens from the time it leaves my mouth until it gets integrated into your being that has to happen in terms of the words I use, how you understood those words, how you interpreted them, how you put them all together, what you thought was the most important. When you walk out of a shir, well, what did he say? You know, I get a big kick out of asking people, like after a simple drasha, like, you know, what was the message? They have four different things. You know, we pick out different things, we stress different things, and we hear them differently because of that aspect. The springboard for all of this, and I'll just conclude. The on the pasuk of when Moshe is told to go to Paro for the first time, Hashem says, "Bo el Paro melech Mitzrayim, v'shalach es b'nei Yisrael to descend b'nei Yisrael." Excuse me. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe v'el Aaron v'yitzavei mel b'nei Yisrael v'el Paro melech Mitzrayim lohotzias b'nei Yisrael miyaretz Mitzrayim. Speak to the b'nei Yisrael and to Paro to take them out of Mitzrayim. So the phrase of what he needed to say to b'nei Yisrael is not. We're not told what it was that he needed to say. The pasuk should simply say, "Go to Paro and tell him to leave." Why is he also commanding the Jewish people? So on that, Yerushalmi darshins that he needed to teach the Jewish people the mitzvah of shiluach avodim. The first mitzvah they needed to hear while still in Mitzrayim was the concept of freeing avodim who are enslaved, that they need to be made free. That's what they need to hear, and then Paro needs to hear to free them. But they need to be aware of that mitzvah that a slave has to be set free, because that's what returns, so to speak, the concept of the Shmiah being out of servitude. You can't be a slave and be able to hear. So the Jewish people say, "We can't hear what you're saying. Kol Teruach, we don't hear you." So he needs to teach them, free yourself from being a slave, which ties into the whole thing with the piercing of the ear and being at Har Sinai and hearing not to be a slave. But those are his thoughts on the concept of Shmi, of being able to hear, as it ties into those ideas.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.